You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
I'm telling you, Rhett, this is gonna.
His first friend was Abraham. Surely said to Abraham, I am that I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And we've got a cup of friendship going strong here today. He probably has rebellious children. He's caught one. He's been given a bell. So if I interrupt, he can let me know.
Well, you whatever know, it is. We're trying to discuss actually what the format should be of this discussion that Rhett and I are having, and we came up with blah 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 blah
blah blah blah.
And then we thought, when it's blah 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 blah, blah hit blah, the blah. Gong bell. Remember, there was
blah,
a show
blah, blah.
Years ago called the Gong Show. Remember, these guys would get up and they would do audacious things,
and then they pull out the big hook to pull them off the stage.
And then at a certain point, someone would run up and bang the gong. Okay. So, Rhett.
Yeah.
Last session we finished, we had been talking about how verses in the Bible had been misinterpreted, misunderstood, and misused.
And just last night I saw this young lady was very upset because she was told that she was bad because she had tattoos and it's evil to have tattoos.
Right.
And I said, no, 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 no. Okay. We're going to rectify that. If you know someone that has tattoos or you have tattoos, you're going to want to listen to this broadcast about this.
Well, we talked about it on the last one. My friend Webb on the Utilla that told me he heard a pastor say if you had tattoos, you're going to hell. And I said, well, let's look at the verse. Well, it's in Leviticus 19. It says, don't cut the four locks of your hair. Don't make marks on your, cut your body or make marks in worship of the dead. Don't trim your beard also.
That was because?
Well, there was God bringing his people out from an Egyptian culture. And
they had tattoos and cut their hair.
Well, the Egyptians worshiped the dead by making marks on their body.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the commandment here? It's not having a tattoo. It's having a mark on your body that is for worshiping of the dead or worshiping
or
false gods.
Yeah.
That's the commandment. Don't be like the Canaanites. Don't be like the Egyptians.
So tattoos are okay.
Be holy, yes. Tattoos are okay. In fact, I told you the story of my friend Geronimo, who was our waiter on board a cruise ship. This was years ago. A guy from Goa, a Christian. Mm. He's an Indian, but he's a Christian.
Mm.
And when I asked him if he was Hindu or Muslim, it was kind of a trick question because once I figured out he was from Goa, which used to be a Portuguese colony,
mm-hmm.
chances are he was a Christian.
Mm.
And so when I asked him, he took off his glove and he put his hand down on the table between my son Lucas and I, and there was a cross tattooed right here on that area between his thumb and his forefinger. And I said, he said, no, I'm Christian. I said, do all Christians in Goa have that mark? And he said, that's what makes us Christians. So in his culture, having a tattoo identified him with Christ.
Mm.
And it's the same thing in a lot of South Pacific Polynesian cultures. Tattoos are made to proclaim faith.
Somebody has parked their car so that the sun is going right into my eye. Okay.
So we also talked about head coverings. I told you the story of working on the Coco River in Honduras and Nicaragua and the Miskito culture.
Mm-hmm.
Women wear little lace doilies on their head when they come into church because in Corinthians chapter 11 it says women's heads should be covered. And there have been many times where women are standing outside of the church and they won't come in because they don't have the lace doily on their head. They think they need it to get inside the church building. I don't think Paul wrote that. So we discussed the whole concept of having short-haired prostitutes from the temple of Aphrodite being converted into becoming followers of Jesus. And perhaps Paul was just not wanting people to get confused by seeing prostitutes or ex-prostitutes with short hair coming into the Christian meetings. The other possibility is in Greek culture, a woman's hair was the most sensual thing about her. So
people try to do things to make themselves agreeable with God, thinking they have to earn it. It's like in this movie I told you about, Witkoff, George Witkoff. He made friends with Benjamin Franklin. Well, Benjamin Franklin had all these virtues, and Witkoff had almost killed himself when he initially became a Christian.
Are you talking about George Whitfield?
Yeah, Whitfield.
Whitfield, okay.
When he first became a Christian, he tried to starve himself for 25 days, and he was so felt. And his friends had to pull him aside and say, no, George, you don't have to do this to yourself. That's yours right here, I believe. You don't have to do this to yourself because Jesus did it for you. You just have to accept the gift. And Benjamin Franklin had all these virtues, and he's trying to convince him to be saved. You must be born again. And then Jesus, you can't, it must be very difficult for you to try to live out all those virtues.
Right. But Franklin became one of the biggest supporters of George Whitfield's ministry. Yeah, you know.
Yep.
But
that's what that movie's about. It's a wonderful movie.
Over the years, so many verses have been misconstrued and misunderstood.
Oh, yeah. Man's interpretation.
And we finished in our last session talking about how Ezra decided he was going to study the Word of God, put it in practice, and then teach it to the people of Israel, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. The challenge is, as Paul Hebert points out in his book that really impacted me, Anthropological Insights for Missionaries, he said that if we're going to bring a message to a foreign culture, first of all, we have to understand the Bible in its historical and cultural context. Mm. Because when you're reading a document that was written in the first century to the 1500 BC,
yeah.
During that time,
yeah.
Speaking in different languages, different culture, different thought patterns, you really need to understand the message in that context. And the other thing is really you really need to understand the people that you're talking to, and because you really want to reach them. So,
and by the way, Mike is a biblical scholar and
a coffee roaster also,
and a coffee roaster, and a cup of friendship. It will be available very soon. If you go to our website,
yes.
Which is yet to exist.
Yes, we did a lot of testing yesterday, testing.
Name for the show and had to call an attorney, so now we're getting another name.
Well,
that doesn't matter to these people, anyway. What matters is they can wear tattoos.
They can wear tattoos. But the whole, I think, the thing we have to come to grips with is we who read the Bible in the 21st century often... Just because we understand the words, it doesn't necessarily mean we understand what's being said. And let me tell you an example of that. My friend Randy Smith, who we work with and do study tours in Israel, Randy was an archaeology student, and he was living, I think, in the Sisters of Anne Convent, which is on the Via Dolorosa. He was living in an apartment on the top floor. And there was a Arab lady that came by and kept the place clean, and occasionally she brought her 15-year-old daughter. And so Randy, being a young, student, oftentimes would converse with this young lady. And one day he was standing there looking on over the old city, and he got talking to her, and he mentioned that he had seen a great movie at the cinema the night before, starring John Wayne, and the young lady said to him, well, she said, I've never been to a movie. And Randy, in his very polite way, said, well, look, we can go tonight. I'll take you to see that John Wayne movie tonight.
Uh-oh.
And the young lady looked at Randy with surprise, turned around, and walked away. And Randy thought, what have I done?
Hmm.
Well, it was a few hours later that the mom comes up and throws her arms around Randy and says, we are so happy that you are going to become part of our family.
Oh.
And Randy goes, what did I just do? So he goes and he asks his professor. He said, I invited this Arab girl to go to the movie with me, and now her mom thinks that I'm going to marry her. And the professor says, well, of course. The only person that young lady will go to a movie, the only man that she'll go to a movie with is her husband. by your inviting her, you've just literally asked her to be your wife. And Randy said, really?
How did he back out of that one?
Well, I mean, here's just because he invited her to a movie in English, let's go to a movie. There's nothing else behind it. But in her culture, there was a lot behind it. And so Randy said, well, how do I get out of this?
Well, yeah,
and the press said, you got to be very careful because you do not want to dishonor this young girl. Because if you break off the engagement,
so
she will remain single her entire life. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go buy a gift for every one of her female relatives and take them to her and express how happy you are to becoming part of the family. So Randy bought a bunch of food and a bunch of other things. He went up to El Lazaria, which is up on the Mount of Olives where this family lived. And he said he went around the room and handed things to all the ladies, and they were just celebrating, you know. And then so Randy comes back the next day and he says, okay, I did that. What do I do now? And he said, the press said, do nothing. Just wait. So a couple months went by. And the professor came to Randy and said, okay, now, I want you to go to the girl's mother, and I want you to tell her that you just got a letter from your mom in the United States, and she will not allow you to marry this Arab girl. That will save her reputation and her honor.
Oh,
so Randy
really?
Went and told the lady that his mother would not let him marry this girl, and everything was settled.
Poor girl.
Okay. So this brings, the point that we really need to understand not just the words, because literally we step out of our 21st century world and we go back to another time and another place. And it was, I think, Mark Twain who said, we know a lot of things that just ain't so. Have you heard that?
Okay. Or who was the other guy said, things ain't what they used to be, and chances are they never were.
Okay, but we know a lot of things that
just
ain't so. Okay, and so I've heard Randy teach this many times to our groups, you know. What does it mean to me, this passage, and to me and my family in the 21st century as I face my life and all the issues? And the reality is this, Rhett. There is not one word of Scripture that was written to me or to you personally, but every word of Scripture was written for me, okay? It's not written to me, but it's written for me, okay?
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Bring his love. He loves to come and bring his touch to me.